Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
You know, sometimes I just want to say thank you, God, that you put us in this kind of a world.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Ken Davis.
With the humor around us, the things that are around us, even in church. We go to church and I have laughed some of the hardest I've ever laughed. No, not at my minister, you know. No. At me, at our family. You ever notice Sunday morning is the time that you get the most bent with your family? Oh, as a parent, I find myself with my hands around the throat of a child that I love.
Going, you get ready, and you get ready now, because we gotta go to church where we can learn about the love of Jesus. Hurry up!
More humorous perspectives from comedian Ken Davis at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Jimmy Purdy with Shifting Gears Auto Repair. We are family owned and operated, and we treat every vehicle like it's our own. Every repair comes with a 3-year, 36,000 mile nationwide warranty. We offer complimentary Ubers and a hand wash with every service. Need a lift? We offer free local towing too. At Shifting Gears, we believe in honest work, quality service, and getting you back on the road fast, because we're ready to serve you next. Give us a call at 805-238-6202 or stop on by at 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles.
Looking for the best golf deal on the Central Coast? The 2026 SLO County Golf Card is here, and it's your ticket to play more golf for less all year long. For only $125, you'll unlock amazing benefits at Dairy Creek, Chalk Mountain, and Morro Bay Golf Course. But hurry, this offer is only on sale through January 1st. With your card, you'll enjoy $15 golf rounds every day after 12 noon, even on weekends at Chalk Mountain Golf Course. Now through March 31st. And on Tuesdays, you can tee off for just $15 all day long. That's not all. You'll also receive a free round at Chalk Mountain, a free round at Morro Bay, a free 9-hole round at Dairy Creek, and a bonus free round on your birthday. So don't miss your chance to make 2026 your best golf year yet. Visit slocountygolf.com today and grab your SLO County Golf Card before January 1st.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, the rest of the story. In any high school, there's one jock who is so good with his fists that he never has to use them. Lean, powerful, lightning-like reflexes. And yet good grades are as bewildering to him as his athletic prowess is to others. Well, many years ago at Midwood High in New York, this prototypical character went by the name of Al Konigsberg. When was it? Freshman year. Al strolled over to the baseball diamond after school to watch the team practice. At first, the others paid little attention, but after a while, somebody asked if he'd like to try out. Al smiled, said nothing, picked up a bat, approached home plate. The youthful pitcher grinned at this apparent overconfidence, wound up for his most devastating fastball. Al's muscles tensed, the ball was released. A split second later, the bat cracked against it and sent the ball sailing over the left field fence. And it went on like that all afternoon. The team's coach just shook his head as they tested Al in every position. He could run bases like the wind, shag grounders, and whip them out like a machine. There seemed no limit to what Al could do. Combining power and speed with a fantastic coordination, he wouldn't stop with baseball. There was a whole world of sports that Al was free to explore. Al's was a daily pilgrimage to the playing field or to the gymnasium. But meanwhile, Al's parents were making another frequent pilgrimage to the principal's office. No, Al had not improved in his academic courses. The boy's grades ranged from below average to way below average, the principal explained. Perhaps if he could just get his mind off sports for a while, but that was the hard part, getting Al's mind off sports. Imagine the commotion in the Konigsberg household when Al announced he was going to try out for the Golden Gloves. Explained that his high school athletic coach's enthusiasm for his future as a boxer had led him to want to whip the pants off every challenger at Midwood High. Well, that's when Mom put her foot down. Her son was not going to be a boxer, nor was she going to be the mother of some musclehead dunce who lived only to get his face bashed in. Al was, on the other hand, going to forget about this foolishness. He was going to buckle down. He was going to graduate high school. He was going to attend college, whether he liked it or not. Well, poor Al, he did his best to please his folks. He did give up boxing. He did manage to scrape through high school. He did enter college, even though failing grades would put a bachelor's degree beyond his reach. And surely Al's athletic coaches were dismayed to watch a natural talent fall by the wayside. For in the choice between academics and athletics, Al had abandoned something that he could do so well. And thus it is that you know Al Konigsberg. Oh, yes, you know him. Not as an athlete, not as a scholar. No, you see, that youthful obsession with sports, that general apathy toward textbooks, had cloaked a brilliance which could not register on a report card. Today, Al's image is completely contrary to the one you've just heard. Perhaps in part because once upon a time, his admonishing parents recognized a potential that not even he could see. The baseball diamond, maybe the boxing ring, certainly lost Al Konigsberg. But the performing arts gained a superstar of the first magnitude, a writer and a comedian who, through three decades of comedy, has characterized himself as the classic 97-pound weakling. Alan Stewart Konigsberg, whom you know as Woody Allen. Only now, you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have San Luis Obispo County Assessor Tom Bordenaro. We are going over the yearly report, but if you have a question about anything regarding what's going on with the county and tax assessments, please give us a call. One of the things that I saw happening last year that I thought was very, very interesting, or this year, this is from the year before, correct?
Correct.
What happens is nonprofits are exempt from paying taxes. And I saw huge tax revenue that was in private holdings going to nonprofits. And I'll give you the three biggest examples that I saw. They had a big condo building. I think it was around 200 units. It could be 150. I don't remember. It was in the San Luis Ranch. It was supposed to be workforce housing. They moved workforce housing people in. And then they sold it to Cal Poly Corporation, which is a nonprofit. And they were going to put professors there. And they kicked all the workforce housing people out, evicted them. So that building then went into no tax status. Another building that went into no tax status was in Templeton, the Templeton Hospital. And the big one, which I thought was a major tax revenue source, was Sierra Vista Regional Hospital. What is the total amount of new exemptions that went to churches and nonprofits?
So just to clarify a little bit, not all nonprofits are exempt. So a nonprofit, a 501c3, has to file for what's called a certificate, a clearance certificate with the state of California, and receive this clearance certificate that they are a legitimate nonprofit with specific mission. So it isn't necessarily all nonprofits. But so what happens is they file. The state gives them a clearance certificate. They bring that clearance certificate to the assessor's office. They file for an exemption. And if their certificate, we go out and we check the use. and make sure the use is actually what they stated when they received their certificate, and then we give them an exemption. So, yes, those that were referred to, and I don't have the numbers on the top of my head for each individual one that you spoke to, but Adventist Health, which purchased the hospitals, then Cal Poly, which purchased the housing unit, those are ended up being exempted. So the total number this year was actually, in value, was up by almost $237 million in exemptions. We call them welfare exemptions, but you can't think of the word welfare as what commonly people think of as welfare. It just means they're a nonprofit. Churches can fall under that. Religious exemptions are also in that category. We saw, I was shocked at the number. It's a big number. But we had those couple big projects that were purchased and ended up being a nonprofit. Now, the housing unit is not 100% nonprofit, because what happens is they still have some of those folks that are still in there. I know, because one of my employees is in the rented one of those.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so they're still in there until their lease is up. And then so once they move out, and then either a Cal Poly student or staff or faculty or whoever that qualifies moves in. So we don't know what the percentage is, because we're still working with Cal Poly on certifying which ones of those meet their nonprofit status. So it won't be 100% for that structure. Well, I can't tell you what it is yet, because we're still trying to, that just happened. And so not too long ago. So we'll be, we're working on that with Cal Poly to figure out how many of those units are actually being used for their nonprofit clearance allows them to use it for. But yeah, it was a big jump and was kind of a shocker to me.
Did this, so this was also a big amount of money taken away from the county, from schools, and from like San Luis Obispo.
Correct. So it has a negative effect on the growth of those property taxes in whatever jurisdiction they were in, yes. Welfare exemptions, religious exemptions, veterans exemptions. There are a lot of exemptions that are available. And there's a lot of exclusions that are available. Again, they're lined out in the annual report. They're also lined out online, or you can, if you think that you might have something that might be, eligible, you can always call the office. But there's just a lot of different types of exemptions that are
government
available.
Also, government is exempt.
Government is exempt for the most part. One of the things about the code, which is always interesting, is that I can never say this is the way we do things, because there's an exception to every single rule that exists in the Revenue and Taxation Code. So, in general, governments are exempt, because it doesn't make sense to borrow from Peter to pay Paul. But it's only if it's within its own jurisdiction. So let me give you an example. Nacimiento Lake is owned by Monterey County. It's fully within the county of San Luis Obispo. So the county of Monterey has to pay the county of San Luis Obispo a tax bill. It's not a lot of money, because the thing was built quite some time ago. But the city of San Luis has a lot. At one time, decades ago, they had an idea of creating a green belt around their city. So they are buying up a lot of properties that are not annexed. They're not contiguous to the city. And they're not part of the city, so they actually have to pay a tax bill on those properties that they own outside of their jurisdiction.
And as many of you remember, I had Julie Tacker on the show probably about 6 months ago. And what had happened, there was a reclaimed sewer water, or putting cleansed sewer water into the groundwater. And it had three cities involved, Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Pismo Beach. It was called Central Coast Blue. And the other two cities got fed up and wanted out. So it ended up being only Pismo. But guess what? The sewer plant that they're putting together is in Grover Beach. And so you're reassessing that to provide taxes.
Yeah, so the city of Pismo will have to pay a tax bill on that because they are no longer in a joint venture with the other cities where the property is located. So that's an example of when government does have to flip the bill. You know, it's like, I think Mono Lake is pretty much owned by L.A. That's a huge tax bill for L.A. And like Hetch Hetchy is owned by San Francisco. So there is that when it's outside your jurisdiction, you got to pay Peter.
But if you've had it for decades, like Hetch Hetchy, it's probably small
because it is protected under Prop 13 also.
And so businesses are protected also under Prop 13.
Their assets are, as far as land and the building, but not their business property. So business property is not treated under Prop 13, and business property is anything pretty much movable. So when you think of, you could look on the annual report, one of the largest businesses that we have in the county is a construction company that has a lot of equipment for road, for paving, bulldozers, things like that are not licensed by DMV. Those are also accessible. And they depreciate every year. It's based on a cost basis. They're not under Prop 13. Only under Prop 13 is land and those things that are attached to it. So personal property, those things can swing quite a bit. Airplanes are another example. Boats are another example. We have to track every airplane, where it is on January midnight. 12:01 midnight on January 1, we have to know where every plane is in the state of California. So, and then that county will receive a tax bill. So if they land on the 31st and take off on the 1st, we get the tax bill. We get the tax revenue.
Well, that's interesting.
It's very interesting, especially when you think of a company like United Airlines. So United Airlines has a huge fleet. We actually have to know when they enter California airspace, when they leave California airspace, what the value is of that equipment, where it lands, and how long it's in each county, and those counties share the bill.
And how is this done? Does American Airlines report it to you, or do you ask the airport to report it? How do you find this out?
So we get a lot of information from the FAA. So the FAA, who tracks all the tail numbers, they know where everybody's at, but also the airports will report, and then the airlines report. And what happened about, it's been 10, 15 years ago, there was, once GPS was really being used, they can now deliver us the data. We know exactly when a plane enters, when it lands, how long it stays there, and when it moves off to the next one. And then the problem is you've got several counties, like United will come in, land in L.A., then maybe they'll fly to San Francisco, and then they fly out. So we have to break down. So we have one county that will do the assessment on United, and then they share it with all the other counties where it lands, and then different tax bills are created for that airlines. It's very complicated, but with today's technology, it's made it a lot easier. We used to have to go to their headquarters and audit their books, which used to be very time-consuming. And like, if they landed at three counties would show up to audit their books. So we figured out a way that we could only send one county. They're a lead county. They're the ones that deal with it, and then they break it up and share the information with the other counties.
And for boats, what are the rules for boats?
If wherever it is, 12:01 midnight, and we get that from the Department of Boats and Waterways, and we try to figure out, and that's not as clear as where they are or they're. So we also get information from the different ports, the different harbor districts, and try to glean through that and try to figure out. Once they're on the rolls, we'll send them a notification. So if we know that a certain boat is usually moored at Morro Bay, that they'll get a notification once a year, and if they report that they're no longer there, sometimes then we'll take them off the rolls and exchange that information with other counties. They're pretty honest about it because they know they're going to have to pay taxes somewhere. So for the most part, everyone is they understand the the way things work, and they report pretty well. For the vast majority, it's not an issue.
It does sound like a lot of work, though.
It's a lot of work. And there's a lot of other things that we end up assessing that people don't know about. Like, there's certain racehorses. If a racehorse is a stallion, a mare, or a progeny of a stallion or mare that are used for paramutual or horse racing, they get a tax bill. So we have to determine who has what horses, where, and whether they're used for. So it's basically thoroughbreds and running quarter horses that are used on tracks that have betting. So there's a lot of little nuances and things that we have to do that are kind of humorous.
What would you say are the oddest things that you've taxed in the past?
Oh, my office or assessors in general?
Go ahead, assessors in general, and then your office.
Okay, so assessors in general have assessed illegal drug cartels for the value of their inventory.
Oh, no, I like that.
And you see if they pay the bill or not, which is kind of interesting, but it was...
Let's get back to that in just a second. We have
sure.
a caller.
Okay.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Tom?
Yeah, Tom, can I get some clarification? VA disability ratings, I was living in Texas, and at 70%, I got, exempt on the property tax. I'm trying to get clarification here in the state of California. My understanding is I have to be 100% to get that. Is that, can you confirm or deny that?
So, have you talked to the folks in my office?
No, I have not.
Okay, so I would give them a call. Our rules are different than... Our rules for pretty much everything are different than the other 49 states. So
yes,
it all depends on your level, and then kind of, and also there's some income tests here in California. So give me a call. Call my office. We have a great person in charge of vets exemption that can help you walk through it.
And thank you for calling, and we're going to have to take a break from our sponsors.
Very good.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report. The major averages losing steam in afternoon trading after rising sharply earlier in the session, with the Dow and NASDAQ swinging 1,000-plus points from session highs to lows on renewed AI valuation concerns, along with doubts that the Fed will cut interest rates in December. Most all of the S&P 500 sectors were lower, with tech leading the declines, while consumer staples were the only gainer. NVIDIA stock fell 3% after rising 5%. Earlier in the trading session, the chipmaker reported record third quarter sales and issued strong guidance. The Dow winners, Walmart, United Health, and IBM. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, Caterpillar, and Boeing. The Dow down 387 points. The NASDAQ lower by 486. S&P 500 down 103. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
There's no championship league for small business owners. But if there was, you'd be at the top of the standings. Because going pro with Lenovo Pro means you've got the winning formation, one-on-one advice, IT solutions, and customized hardware powered by Intel Core Ultra processors help you stay ahead of the competition. Business goes pro with Lenovo Pro. Sign up for free at Lenovo.com/pro.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
What should you look for when choosing an insurance agent? Experience is a key quality. A good agent responds promptly. It gives you clear explanations, letting you know exactly all the details of your policy. And a good agent has good listening skills, and a good agent takes the time to understand your unique situation. A good agent, like Kevin Hunt Insurance, 105 South Main Street in Templeton. Call 805-434-3276.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday. I have Sloan County Assessor Tom Bordenaro. We're asking if you have questions about the assessor's office or about something that you're doing, please give us a call. We were talking about the oddest thing. So they've actually made the cartels pay taxes.
So, well, I don't necessarily know if they ever paid the bill, but I do know that assessments were sent out for the street value of, like, large warehouses of cocaine and other things that were discovered by law enforcement to try to extract some pain from the other side. That, I think, is a kind of a clever use of assessment laws, because it doesn't matter. So our constitutional duty is to assess all taxable property. It doesn't necessarily mean all legally permitted property or all property that is legal. It says assess all taxable property. So inventory in a business is used to be taxable, and that was when it used to be where assessors would go after the inventory of illegal, nefarious organizations. Inventory is no longer taxable in the state of California. It is in other states, and I would imagine that they will go after it in that way, too.
I notice they do. This is an IRS thing. I was investigating a local attorney who is in a lot of trouble now. I'm not even going to use his name. And I was looking at things. We're talking 10 years ago. And there was some moving around of money out of his. I'm not an accountant. I don't know tax laws at all. I have CPAs that help me. I have attorneys that help me. And this, I went to a very high level CPA, and I said, "Will you just look at this?" And I said, "I think this is wrong." He said, "Oh, you're really wrong." He said, "This is really wrong." He pulled money out of their IRA accounts, or his retirement account, put it into a development project he was doing, and then pulled it back out again. And the guy that looked at it and found the stuff for me, he said, "I'm going to report this." He literally reported it to the IRS with seeking money with it. And then he shared the letter. They literally sent him a letter, said, "Yes, we determined, this was fraud." And, I mean, it was millions of dollars, millions. And they determined fraud, and they were going after him, and the guy did get a benefit from it.
Well, I tell you what, there's so many things that occur out there. There's so many people who believe that they can get around the law, and some of them succeed, but most of them, they don't. Eventually, most people will get busted. I could tell you a couple things on the assessment side that was not the fault of necessarily the homeowner, but we have discovered in the past there was a house, and I won't say where it was at, but the permit was never transmitted to us. And so my appraiser happened to be driving to the area and said, "There's a house there." I didn't know there was a house there. So we went back in the records and we found that this house was built, legally built, but the permit was never given to us by the jurisdiction, so we never put a value on it. And we did at that point. And we could go back 4 years. In that case, it wasn't fraud. But we can go back 20 years if we can show that there's fraud, which is a high bar. And I'll give you an example. A very large barn, if you drive out in the country, you still see some of these barns that were built around the turn of the century that are pretty huge hay barns. Somebody built a two-bedroom house inside the hay barn. So they were not paying taxes on the house that was built inside the hay barn. The property sold, And the new owner came and said, there's a house in here. That house had been in there probably 15, 16 years. We didn't go back after the old owner because they were gone, sold, and out of state. But the new owner was honest enough to say, there's a house inside this barn. So those type of things, people, you know, and again, going back to, we have to assess everything, whether it's legal or not. So there's a lot of unpermitted property in this county of San Luis Obispo. The further you get away from the city center, the more unpermitted property there is. And we eventually will discover it. We'll eventually put it on the rolls. We don't.
How do you use the, what is your main way of discovering it?
The next door neighbor. what happens for the most part is they'll be bragging about how they got away with adding this bedroom on without a permit. And the neighbor who did the same thing and paid the permit and is paying increased taxes are a little bit upset over it. So they're the ones that give us a phone call. We don't, when we discover property that's unpermitted, we just put a value on it. We don't turn it over to planning to go after them for any type of red tags or anything like that. It's just, we don't have the staff. We don't have the desire. That's not our job to be the police. We just put the value on it and kind of move on.
Have you ever gone criminally after someone for fraud?
Not in my office. No, we have not.
And I do want to ask you a question. What are the you made a big thing in your report this year about the impacts of Prop 19? And can we get into that a little bit?
Absolutely. So Prop 19. Was an initiative that passed, and that it very much narrowed down how much parents and grandparents can give to their children or grandchildren at the same time. It allowed a lot of flexibility on moving your old base from when you sold a home, if you're over 55 or disabled, you can move it across county lines. So prior to Prop 19, you could only do that within San Luis Obispo County. Now you can do it from anywhere in the state, and you can do it up to three times. It was put on the ballot, and it was, and I think it was 2018, it was defeated on the ballot because it was a huge cost. Because you create winners and losers when you cross county lines, and especially San Luis County, we have more people moving in than move out. So to pay for it, they narrowed the parent-child exclusion. So now you cannot leave your old tax base to your kids like you used to prior to Prop 19 passing. So in my report, I put in there what the impact is, because we're a net importer of let's just say, more affluent home buyers. We have buyers that, you know, they might be in Palo Alto. They sell a home for $3 million. It has literally a $300,000-$400,000 tax base. They come down here. They buy a house for $2 million, put $1 million in the bank. And they get their $300,000 tax base that was up in San Mateo County or Santa Clara County, and so it's not reassessed on our end. So in that report, it shows that it is costing our county quite a bit of money in supporting people who, by the way, are usually, like I said, they're more on the affluent side. They're usually not bringing families in. They're usually already have their families grown and are out. So they're not, you know, you're starting to, you know, if the trend continues, you're going to start seeing declining enrollments in schools and, you know, all kinds of issues like that. But it is an incentive for those folks to move into our county. And then it drives the price up so that the locals here becomes less affordable. I was totally adamantly opposed to Prop 19. But that's not the most egregious part. The most egregious part is the fact that parents can no longer pass on that intergenerational wealth to their children. So if you have a home, you only can get $1 million excluded from your principal place of residence. Prior to this, there was no limit on the value of the home, and you could give up to $1 million in commercial property. Maybe you owned a duplex. Maybe you had a little store that you wanted to pass on to your kids. Those all have to be reassessed. Now, only the up to $1 million of your principal residence can be passed on to your kids. So it's a probably one of the biggest property tax increases in the history of the state of California, and nobody knew they were voting for it. Even the proponents of it went back and said, wait, what? We didn't know this was in there. So there's been several attempts to try to get rid of that part of Prop 19. Last week, a new initiative was filed to get rid of what we're calling the death tax, to try to repeal that so that people can leave their homes to their kids. The hard part about it is you have to have one of your children move into the home and then file a homeowner's exemption within a year to qualify. And if you have three kids, that may not be something that they can do. And the other one, they'd have to end up buying out the other two, siblings. And then that requires a two-thirds reassessment. So it really has taken that intergenerational ability to transfer wealth and kind of kicked it in the teeth.
And I find that to be the worst part about it, too.
Absolutely.
Parents want to work to make their children's lives better also. And when they're going to have to, I almost think it's like a double tax.
It is. I mean, it's kind of like, that's why we call it the death tax. Because that's why you're giving it to your kids. It could be after you pass away, right? Most of the time, those things are transferred when you pass away, and it's in your will, and it's in your trust, that it goes to your sibling. Most people own one home, and most people have more than one child. So now, to get that full exclusion, which, by the way, again, is only $1 million of market value, which is nothing in this county anymore, it's got to be one kid. So are you supposed to pick and choose your children? Or are you supposed to let them fight it out afterwards? Or only one is in it and wants to buy the other one out? And then that's a 50% reassessment. It is definitely a huge, huge, huge tax increase for the inheritors of property that those parents have worked so hard for.
Will this be on the next ballot?
If it qualifies, it will be on the 2028 ballot. They have a long way to go. I think 886, almost 900,000 valid signatures now because the state has grown. There's nobody putting huge amounts of money behind it because there's no, what special interest group is going to fund this? Right? My hope is that the legislature will put it on the ballot with a two-thirds vote of each house. But that is kind of a very difficult thing to do right now because I don't want to make this too partisan, but I'm sorry, there's a bunch of insatiable revenuers that are in control of the legislature right now that it would be a huge tax decrease. I think it was scored close to $200 million at the time. So I don't know. I'm sure that the Howard Jarvis taxpayers are going to be having initiative signature forms available on their website at some point. I'm not even sure they filed it. I just learned last Thursday that it was filed. Keep an eye on it and get those things signed and send them in because it really does put a clamp down on the ability to pass your own home to your children without a huge reassessment.
Yeah, I think it's I've heard more people upset about this than I don't know anyone that was in favor of it. I have seen people that want taxes raised, even locally here. You know, Jimmy Paulding came in, the first thing he wanted to do was raise taxes so the government would have more money to spend. But again, when you had, 235 or 34 million lost in tax revenue to this county last year, isn't that going to have some type of impact?
Sure, it does have an impact, and that impact may or may not grow depending on, that one last year was a little bit of an anomaly because of so many of these large assets went into nonprofits. But again, you got to take a kind of a holistic approach and look at everything. And one of those things, again, is, you go back to, is it fair that you've owned your home in San Luis Obispo for 30 years? And you've not moved so that you can keep your taxes low. and then you pass away and you give it to your kids, and it's reassessed to a point that they can't afford to pay the taxes on it and they're forced to sell it. It's just not right.
We're going to take a break from our sponsors and be back with more with Tom Bordenaro.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Howdy folks, John Whitford. You have heard about it. You've seen the rocket launches.
Whoa, Nelly, stop this ad for breaking news. Starlink has just slashed prices. Now, no Starlink equipment to buy. Lower monthly prices and a free month of service. Call us today to get this limited offer, 461-3030, 461-3030. We also offer observation cameras to keep an eye on things. Now, let's get back to our regular advertisement.
Did you know that you can share your Starlink Wi-Fi throughout your property? Yes, we provide property-wide Wi-Fi for barns, shops, buildings, cameras, and gates. Say no to hokey Wi-Fi, slow DSL, and expensive hotspots. Call me, John Whitford, for more details, installations, and orders. 461-3030, that's 461-3030.
Wesley here from Stove and Spa Center. I just wanted to thank you for letting us make your life more comfortable for 35 years. You can see and explore all of our hearth products, wood, gas, pellet, and electric, to keep you warm and cozy during cold and wet winters. Or maybe you're looking to enjoy the benefits of what hot tub's soothing water can do for your body and to melt away the stress that living today brings on. Or perhaps you want to get in better shape this year by exercising in one of our swim spas. There are many models and sizes. We even have models with treadmills built into them. We have a large showroom with lots of the products we sell. Plus, lead times to get products have been greatly reduced. And of course, you can still get all the supplies and even get your water tested for your pool and spa. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Come check us out at Stove and Spa Center, 7485 El Camino Real at Tascadero, between Kerberel and Moore Roads. All products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And today I have San Luis Obispo County Assessor Tom Bordenaro. He does a yearly report. And I may be, like he said, I'm the first one that always calls. I actually find it fascinating. I watch the numbers. And I do find it fascinating. I knew as soon as Adventist Health bought those two properties, and then they Cal Poly bought the other, there was going to be a chunk of taxes taken out of this county. And again, exemptions last year for this type of thing grew by more than $230 million. But the other thing is, Tom, can you tell people what to do? So how often does someone make a mistake in what they're trying to do to get their taxes down? If they want to make changes, what should they do?
Thanks for that, Karen, and thank you for the opportunity to answer it, because it is one of the things, I've been doing this for quite some time, it's one of the things that is really quite astonishing to me, that a person's home is their largest asset, and yet they do things that end up increasing their taxes by other than just not knowing. And I'm not a lawyer. I can't give legal advice. And I'm not suggesting everybody run out to a lawyer prior to them doing something. But let me just give you an example. We had a fellow who got in trouble with the IRS. And somebody told him, you know what, get the house out of your name, because the IRS is going to take your house. Which, by the way, is not that easy for the IRS to do if it's your principal place of residence. But he did that. He transferred it to his brother. He got the IRS mess cleared up. His brother transferred it back. Well, it was reassessed when it went to the brother, and it was reassessed when it came back to him. So his property taxes doubled, which that is forever. So long as he owns that home, his property taxes are twice as much. And the trouble that he was in with the IRS was only 2 years of that. I think it was 2 or 3 years of the difference of his old property tax and his new property tax. So it didn't pay him to do that. So my suggestion to people is to call our office. We can't give you legal advice, but we can tell you, if you do this, this is what will happen. We try to refrain from things that are really complicated, because what happens is someone calls in and said, if I do A, B, C, and D, what'll happen? And we'll tell them, and then they end up doing A, B, F, and H, and then they go back and goes, but you said. So, you know, we got to be real careful of it, but, you know, consult. Don't just consult with your next door neighbor who is meaning well, or your uncle, or whatever it might be, but seek some advice from somebody who's been in the business. Doesn't necessarily have to be an attorney, but there are some good attorneys in this town that can help you with, like, really large decisions, because what you do can cause a reassessment. Even if you end up owning the same property and nothing happened, you could end up getting a reassessment, and I don't want to see that happen to anybody.
And I know a number of people that have gone to attorneys as they get older. I had a friend that went to an attorney, and he had a lot of rental property, and he was leaving it to his children, and the attorney said, start putting it just a little bit in your children's name more every year, because then they're already owners, and it changes how things transfer.
And you have to remember that most are that estate planners and attorneys are mainly looking at IRS ramifications and franchise tax board ramifications, but don't forget the property tax ramifications. And I mean, I hate to even broach this subject, but because divorces, most divorce attorneys don't ever consider who gets to move the property tax base. And so it's not in the divorce settlements. So what happens is the first one that buys a new home and moves their base over is the one that gets it, and the other one's left high and dry. So
that's big news for people to know.
That is big news for people to know. Make sure that in your divorce settlement, who gets the property tax base move. If you're selling the home and going to go buy two different homes, only one of those people gets the transfer. So, those are the type of things that people don't think about. And I know it's not a real exciting subject for people, but it is something that can affect you for the rest of your life, as long as you own that property. So if you have any questions, we have a lot of information out on the web. Just Google it, and you can find a lot of information. Make sure the information you're looking at is from my site and not from somewhere else. But if you have any questions, you know, please call the office. We have a North County office. We have the San Luis office, and you know, one of the things that my staff really loves enjoying is helping the taxpayer run the gauntlet of property tax, because it is a very complex, convoluted system, and it's just not that simple.
I didn't know you had a North County office. Where is it?
It is in Capistrano there, right kind of up above the Bank of America building. Well, you know where the library is? The City of Atascadero Library?
Yes.
County Library,
yes.
Actually. It's second floor of the county library building in that hotel business park.
And do you get a lot of business there?
We don't get a lot of business there anymore. It's mostly for people that work in the North County. We have a lot of appraisers there, but we do have a front counter that is available to people. So that, and then the parking's better than downtown in St. Louis. So, you know, I just, one of my pet peeves is we build a brand new building. We move into, well, not brand new anymore. It's 20 years old now, but we don't provide public for the parking, parking for the public. This has always irritated me.
And I will tell you, I've been in your, I haven't been lately, but there's times I've been in for weeks on end, probably driving crazy. I always went down to the slow office, but I spent a lot of time in there. When I was looking into the Helios Day Spring case, there was a lot of weird property transfers. And I was constantly down there, and they were helping me understand and going over it and then packed. And it did lead to, I did have a federal person call me, and they took the records, and it was part of the suit against the charges against him.
Yeah, we like to help people run this gauntlet, because it is a gauntlet.
It's interesting, though, when you pull these things to see how properties have been transferred, and they have all the maps. I mean, there are some...
Well, one of the great things, yeah, we have maps that are online now. We've tried to put a lot of stuff out on the web for people to look at. Obviously, we can't put any confidential information in there, but we've actually, I used to operate with 3 million pieces of paper. We now have only a handful. We have everything digitized. So you can access, if you're an owner of a property and want to access your file, you can go into either office now. And before, we had North County and Cambria files in Tescadero. And then we had everything else down in St. Louis. So if you happen to be in the North County and you owned a property in St. Louis, you'd have to go to St. Louis for the file. Now we can access all those digitally. So it doesn't matter which office you start at to get your information now.
When did you change that over?
Right before COVID hit, which was really nice because I was able to send all my staff home when they close the offices, and we were up and running within 24 hours afterwards because we were able to securely VPN everybody from their home office. We had them sign a document, take county computers home, and then they're able to work from home securely and able to access all the documents they needed to continue their work.
With all these electronic changes, has it led to less people in the office?
Yes, it has. We actually were able to let 2.5 positions go simply because we digitized. We had 2.5 full-time people just dealing with where are the files, who has the files, moving them around, inventorying them, trying to find them, trying to put new documents in, take the old documents out. So that was all eliminated. We're now operating, when I came into office, we're operating with more than 10 less than we did when I started, and yet our workload is, I think it's not double, but there's a large increase in our workload since then. But because of the IT things that we've been able to put into place, we're much more efficient than we used to be.
I find that very interesting that the county has grown and your staff is 10 less. So there, a lot of money is saved to the community.
Absolutely. I mean, we're constantly improving. We still have improvements to do. We're probably, with these last budget cuts, I would say we got cut a little bit too deep because we're starting to fall behind in a couple areas. But I think we'll get those restored and we'll be in pretty good shape, but we still have more to do with AI. AI is going to change a lot of things.
I think it will. Tom, I want to thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you, Karen. I really appreciate your time.
And thank you for listening.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.